Good morning, everyone. If I could just declare the meeting open at 9:37 and start by acknowledging the Quandamooka people who are the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet this morning. I'd also like to pay respect to their elders past and present and extend that respect to other Indigenous Australians who are also present here this morning. Just a reminder for our guests to the public gallery today that we have some standing orders that guide you and how we behave in chambers. We have our own standing orders as councillors, but as far as our public conduct at meetings, section 32 of our standing orders sets out a couple of points which I'll just share with you now, that all members of public present at a meeting must not, without the prior approval of the chairperson, make an audio or video recording or take any photographs, remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way, not bring into the meeting any signs, placards, items that may cause a hazard or interfere with any person present, be suitably dressed, and turn all mobile devices to silent mode and leave the meeting to take any calls if you must. As chairperson, it's my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements that I may, with or without such notice, require that person to leave the meeting and not return for a period decided by the chairperson, and that could include future meetings. Item 2 on the agenda is our leave of absence. Unfortunately, Councillor Mitchell is unwell today, so he is an apology. And with that, we'll move. I don't need to have it noted. item 3 is our devotional segment. But with great pleasure that we welcome our member of the Redlands Ministers Fellowship, Pastor Steve Kennedy, to lead us in a brief devotional segment. Thank you,
Thank
Pastor.
You. Thank you. Happy birthday with full house, so
Great to have you with us. I'm going to read just a short text, make a couple of points, and then pray and let you get on with it. It comes from 2 Kings. It's principally a history book in terms of scripture. And it says this: "Now there were four lepers sitting at the city gate. Why should we sit here waiting to die? They ask each other. We will starve if we stay here." There was quite a famine in their land because an army was besieging them and wouldn't let them in or out to farm. So they said, "We'll starve if we stay here, and if we go back into the city, we will starve there as well. So we might as well go out and meet the Aramean army. If they let us live, good. If they kill us, we were going to die anyway." Quite positive. So they set out for the camp of the Arameans, but when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. For God had caused the Aramean army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and the galloping of horses and the sound of an amazing army. So they panicked and ran into the night and abandoned everything that was there. When the lepers arrived at the edge of the camp, they went into one tent after another, eating, drinking, carrying off silver and gold and hiding it. Finally, they said to each other, "This is not right. This is a day of good news, and we're not sharing it with the people in the city. If we wait until the morning, something terrible may happen." So they went back to tell their people. Mayor Karen, what we have here, they say that as an adult at least, you make 35,000 conscious decisions every day. Now, most of them we don't have to think too much about, but in a meeting like this, I'm assuming that some of the decisions we will make can affect the outcomes of people's lives in the short term and certainly the long term. In this little passage of Scripture, I found, and what I simply want to illustrate is that the Bible, it's a spiritual book. It's a mystical book, no doubt. It's not just a DIY book for living, but it does contain tremendous advice as well. And I found in here a way to make, maybe not perfect decisions, but better decisions. So I thought I'd just highlight a couple of them. Here's the first thing that I found, that you should look at something from every angle before making the decision and get the best advice possible. We don't have time for the history lesson, but the fact that the men are sitting on the outside of the camp tells you they have been medically banned from community. They've got advice from the specialists. That's why they're where they are. But here's the good one for me. They looked at things from every angle. Sometimes people are scared to look at every angle. "Well, don't tell me, don't tell me." But you've got to be prepared to listen. Here's what they said: "If we sit here, we die. If we go there, we die. If we go there, we might die. Hands up. Die, die, might die." And all four hands went up. because they were prepared to look at even the grim aspect of a decision before coming to perhaps a better one. Another thing I see in here is that when trying to make a decision, now of the 35,000, I'm not sure you're going to need to run this process for chutney or corn relish, but some decisions. For the gallery and all of us, through this year, there may be even just a dozen decisions you'll make that can alter life, and this could help. I've found, and what I see here, is that they look for a decision that was win-win. There's a lot of people making decisions win-lose. Other people get trodden on, lose, so win. But if we can seek a matter out so that at best we can try that everybody has a win, they said, look, what we're doing is not good. This is a good day. We're having a good time. But we need to go and tell the other people too. So they made a decision that would embrace a broader win. And I think that's a great way to make a decision. And finally, what I see here, and there's lots, but finally what I'll share today is that there's a window of time for every decision. Some decisions have a 5-minute window. I'm one of 12 children, there's one donut on the table, you haven't got an hour to make a decision, Prince. But other decisions will have a longer window of time. They said if we wait till the morning, then something untoward may happen. So they understood that there was a use-by date for the time period for where they need to come to grips with the decision. And today, I guess, by a full gallery, it's probably not someone's birthday, in the job I do, when everyone comes to church, you're probably going to get the sack that day. And so there could be some challenging things that we need to talk about today. And I trust that even this may touch our hearts. Be prepared to talk about it from every angle. And for sure, look for win-win. And understand that, you know, there is a time set where a decision needs to be made. Then we all probably got to just get on with it and do what we have to do, as these four lepers teach us. I'd love to pray for you, and particularly pray for the leader of our city, Mayor Karen Williams, and just pray. So allow me to do that for you. Dear God in heaven, I thank you. We've got a diverse group of the community here today. And Lord God, we do think of the scouts, Lord God, and the guides. I know that they had one of their outposts here burned down a few weeks ago, and that's always a challenging time. And then in every individual in the gallery, Lord, we come here as mums, dads, business people. We've all got a story. And I pray, Lord God, that you would just rest on them. Lord, for us here as elected members, Lord God, I pray you'd grace us with a sense of responsibility for what needs to happen today. Pray, Lord God, that we would understand and be sobered by the role we have. Pray that you would give us wisdom in what we decide. In Jesus' precious name I ask. Amen. Thank you very much. It's been wonderful to be here. Thank you. Thank you.
Councillors, the next item on the agenda is recognition of achievement, and I don't think, as of yesterday, there wasn't anyone that was recognising a member of our community, so we'll move on to receipt and confirmation of our minutes of the 7th of March 2018. Could I have a mover and seconder that those minutes be confirmed, please? Move Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Hughes. Any items of correctness? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Matters outstanding from minutes of previous general meetings, CEO.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. The item today is the request for report on the area surrounding Birkdale School of Arts. That's actually an item on the agenda today.
Thank you, CEO. Next item is public participation. So we have had some people write to the CEO requesting to address council this morning. So, Councillor Spiker, please. I'm just having a look at how many we've got. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If I could just get a motion, councillors, that we adjourn the meeting for about 25 minutes to allow members of the public to address council on matters of public interest related to local government. Move Councillor Gleeson, seconded Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against? That motion is carried unanimously. Just before I ask the first speaker up to the lectern, if I could just draw your attention to the signage around the chambers regarding public participation at meetings. It is Council's usual practice to require any person wishing to address the meeting to state their name and suburb or the organisation that they represent and the subject they wish to speak about. Now, this information will be recorded in the minutes of the meeting, which is a public document available for inspection at Council's administration building and also published on Council's website. It's also important to know that the meeting is being recorded in audio video and that by speaking you acknowledge and agree that the recording video will be placed in the public domain. Any person addressing the meeting will state their name and suburb and or the organisation that they represent and the subject they wish to speak about. Stand unless you're unable to do so, and please let us know if you do need to stay in your seat. We'll bring that microphone to you. We ask you to act and speak with decorum, be respectful and courteous, make no comments directed at any individual council employee, councillor or member of the public, ensuring that all comments relate to council as a whole. My responsibility as chairperson is to make sure that I consider each application on its merit and consider any relevant matter in making my decision to allow or disallow a person to address the local government. To give priority to members of the public who have actually written to the CEO and requested an opportunity to address council at this meeting. Determine the maximum number of speakers based on the number of persons wanting to speak and the time available. Now, each person has a maximum of 5 minutes, dependent on the number of speakers, and there are a number of you speaking on the same subject matter today, so I would ask you to be considerate of those other people with other subject matters to keep to that timeline, please. And also, it's my responsibility, if necessary, to withdraw the approval to address council before the time period has elapsed. Just a reminder that debate and or discussion cannot be entered into at this point in time. And just also, if there is any member of the public that is hearing impaired, please let us know. And we have a hearing loop in the back of the chambers there, and we'll make sure that we bring that microphone to you, but we ask you to stand while you're speaking. All right, so once again, I'll remind you, name, suburb, organisation you represent, and we'll start with Mr Anthony Maloney. If Anthony, you'd like to come to the microphone. So, Mr Maloney, I know you know the drill. You've done it a few times, but if you just state your name and suburb and or organisation you represent and the subject matter you wish to speak about. Please start when you're ready.
Thank you. Anthony Maloney from Mount Cotton, and I'm representing myself and my family. Thank you, Council, again, for the privilege to speak. From the community, I mean, it's always easy to throw stones at Council, but the decisions are made always on balance, and not everyone can be a winner. And I accept that. And it's always a balancing act. And from the community, we don't always see the two sides of the story. Today, I want to address with respect to the extension. Now, this is an extension to the Barrow Group. It's an extension to a cement plant, crushing plant. And within that is a new resource extraction pit, a new quarry, so to say, that will, at the end of life, be up to a kilometre across. I've already previously spoken about the fact that of local resource availability, that we already have one of the largest quarries in southeast Queensland that has only 5 to 8% of its resource going locally. We've spoken previously about microfine dust, traffic and noise. We only have to go to an existing quarry in the afternoon to have a look at the microfine dust, and we know the toxic nature of the microfine dust. We know about traffic. There's going to be 70,000 truck movements in a year. We only have to look at Mount Cotton Road or have to look at Beenleigh Redland Bay Road and look at the traffic congestion on those existing roads. We spoke about noise and the fact that there's a lack of clarity around what the noise levels are at this current time during the development phase. We know, we've always spoken about environmental concerns, and we know that California Creek is already the subject of investigation because it looks like caramel tar after the last lot of rain. And this sediment, where does it end up? It ends up the waters outside Cleveland. It goes down the Logan River and into the bay. We've spoken about the transfer of wealth, and we only have to look at the plan. And it might look like nice drawings on a plan, but we can see it's surrounded by homes, residences, and businesses. But I want to talk today a little bit about safety. I mentioned last time that the Mount Cotton Guesthouse were advised, or Sue was advised, that there were concerns by, and advised by Barrow Group, that there were concerns about residents walking around tracks on her property, about the safety of it. So I sent a series of emails to the Queensland manager for the Barrow Group, asking for clarification and whether those safety concerns reflected on our property. And so what I got back with respect to safety was an extract from the state planning policy for extractive industries. Now, this is something the state has put onto us. And for the safe and efficient operation of an extractive industry, it needs to incorporate certain measures to mitigate the risk and adverse effects that the location of buildings and structures are the greatest possible distance from the extractive resource, that the buildings are designed in a manner where people congregate the furthest most distance from the extractive resource, that they minimise openings in walls closest to the extractive resource. That's wonderful, we shut our windows and no more windows anymore. That we have mechanical ventilation. That we use appropriate construction materials, insulation, sealants, glazing, to minimise the transmission of noise, dust and vibration. And then we provide recreation areas on the adjacent side of the extractive resource. Now, we have existing homes and businesses in that location. This has been dumped on us. So what are we supposed to do? That's the requirement now. And the point of the thing is that the offices for the quarry are nearly 700 metres away from the extractive resource, and people's homes and businesses are 200, 300, 400 metres away. So how does that work out? So next time I get a delegation from the US or from Japan, I have some good news and bad news. We'll have some helmets when they get out of the car and come into the house. Sorry, we can't meet on the deck anymore and enjoy the amenity. I have a bunker downstairs that's got no windows in it, properly sealed from the environment. But this is put on by the state. This is not put on to us by the council. It's by the state. So the simple request is that it's already been rejected twice by council. There's nothing to change that we've seen that would suggest any other reason that we should reject it again. We've got some 12,000 signatures over the time. And I think we implore the council to again reject it and hand it back to the state. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Maloney. Our next four speakers are speaking on the same subject matter, but the first person on my list is Mrs. Carly Ramsey. Is she in the room? Mrs. Ramsey, if you'd like to just make your way to the microphone. And just a reminder, as you approach, just to state your name and suburb or the organisation you represent, and also you feel free to start when you're ready.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair and councillors. My name is Kylie Ramsey and I live at 3 Konulski Court, Victoria Point. I've lived at this address for about 10 years with my family and moved into the Redlands from Sydney about 15 years prior to that. I've been involved in the development assessment with the Double Drop Road precinct, Clay Gully Road, from the time the application was lodged with council. Following a meeting at the Baptist Church in approximately 2015-16, the previous council, at the result of that, we were meant to have a follow-up meeting. To date, that meeting hadn't occurred. We had an amended plan that addressed the concerns to raise with the consultation process mentioned at the church, however this didn't occur. The next notification I got personally was one that was received in the mail from the planning update from Ausbild and Fatini Homes. This was to do with the Double Jump Road precinct. It involved the indicative structure plan, which has now raised more concerns in regard to the broader planning of the area. We've got the rural non-urban zoning. The current rural non-urban zoning does not comply with any further development of the site, as the properties are not large enough in regards to the configuration, i.e. 20 hectares. Until the new planning system has been approved and zoning changes, I don't believe the proposed development of small urban lots in a rural non-urban zoned area should be approved. We've also got the minor change. Council has deemed the changes minor. However, a lot of the minor changes under the Sustainable Planning Act 2016 means a change, the change in the development application. It does not result in substantially different development. I would suggest there is a number of substantial changes along the way. We've got the development of a split in half bus route going into the site, a reduction in the allotment sizes, an increase in the number of allotments adjacent to the park residential zone properties. We've also got amenities of the area. The proposed result here would be a change in the amenities of the area, up to 9 lots backing onto 1 park residential allotments. We've also got the development of an emergency community zone. Under the proposed new planning scheme, 6.2.20, we've got emerging community zone code that has the development does not meet 6.2.20.2, or section 2, the purpose of the code. The purpose of the code here will be achieved through the following overall outcomes. That is A, structure planning of the area within the zone be undertaken prior to the advancement of any reconfiguration or development for urban purposes. On a more personal note, we've got the Aboriginal culture heritage. My name is Kylie, which is Boomerang, which is Aboriginal for Boomerang. In the southeast here, we've got the regional plan of 2009 to 2031, which has a regional policy 7, engaging Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, state that 7.1.1 of that constitution with traditional owners. Now, in the development of local development area to be undertaken, I'm aware of the Aboriginal cultural heritage within the area of the Redlands, but there's been no consultation that I'm aware of with the traditional owners. If this is the case, and I would recognise this to everyone, to recognise and reflect the procedural rights of our traditional owners and respect to them and their culture, I propose no further action is undertaken until this cultural heritage engagement has been undertaken. I'm also saying, if necessary, a survey of the proposal structure plan site be undertaken prior to any approval of this application or any further application within the structure plan. In summary, it is important to note we are not against the development. We are just requesting you refuse the current application in its form until a council-led public consultation process has been undertaken of the entire structure plan, which will result in improving outcome for the area and the community. Redlands is renowned for work, rest and play. Let's work together to maintain this for our future generations and be the voice for the environment that cannot speak for itself. Let's make sure our plan is sustainable before we start developing. Thank you.
Thanks, Mrs. Ramsey. Our next speaker is Mr. Chris Burrow. Mr. Burrow, just name and suburb, and you can start when you're ready.
Good morning. My name is Chris Burrow, and I'm a new resident of Hanlon Place, Victoria Point, having only moved in 5 weeks ago. My background and training is in law enforcement, compliance auditing, and the practical application of OH&S legislation for small and large businesses. I represent a community action group and speak on behalf of the residents that will be directly affected by the proposed development, Clay Gully Road and Brendan Way. I first begin by stating that we are not opposed to the development of this site. As a community group, we are supportive of council continuing to improve our area. However, the proposed development, in our opinion, is not an improvement and will negatively impact the quality of life for this area in its current form. The outcome that we seek today is for council to either defer or reject this application, to then re-engage with your community in an open and transparent manner that will allow the development to proceed without negatively impacting the environment and existing long-term residents. The council's own assessment report clearly states that the proposed development is in conflict with the Redlands Planning Scheme and the South East Queensland Regional Plan, listing no less than 17 conflicts. At face value, this should have been sufficient for the application to have been rejected. However, the report goes on to state that despite the numerous conflicts, sufficient grounds to justify the approval had been found. After reviewing the report and their justifications, I disagree with this assessment and believe that the sufficient grounds to justify the conflicts have not been proven. I would like to bring to the Council's attention the required process of submitting a detailed structure plan for both Council and community consultation has not been completed. And to justify any conflicts that the development application has with the planning guidelines, this must have been done. It is also a requirement for both the developer and the council to engage in extensive community consultation, and this has also not been done. I'd like to now highlight sections of the council's assessment report that proves this application and the recommendation to still approve this application in the face of so many conflicts is flawed. In accordance with your own guidelines, the council must first assess the application against the SEQ regional plan, in particular, the sub-regional narratives of Part C and the regional policies in Part D. An application will not comply if there is a conflict with either of these sections. This application has multiple conflicts with these parts, which has not been properly addressed. Where conflicts are found to exist, which they have in this case, Section 326B of the SEQRP states that Council's decision must not conflict with a relevant instrument unless there are sufficient grounds to justify the decision despite the conflict. To demonstrate the sufficient grounds to justify the decision, the applicant was requested by Council to undertake a detailed structure planning exercise. They were specifically asked to address 9 separate major issues. These issues include ecology, sewer, water and stormwater, traffic, parks, land use, community facilities, reconfiguring of a lot, odour and noise, due to the poultry farm and noise from the Baptist Church. To date, this plan exercise has not been completed and no formal structure plan has been put forward for our review. The lack of detail and disregard of community engagement has left the residents feeling disempowered, and that the council has the best interests of the developer in mind instead of their own residents and their environment. In summary, the council assessment report states, and I quote, "It is considered that the proposal does conflict with a number of provisions within Part D of the SEQRP, specifically in relation to the lack of certainty over the strategic planning for the area. When this is balanced against the established position that the proposal conflicts with Part C of the SEQRP, it is considered a fairly significant conflict. A lack of confidence over the structure planning goes to the heart of the intent of the applicable regional planning policies for development in this area. That development should not proceed until certainty on these matters is established. I believe that I've demonstrated today that there is sufficient evidence that the current development proposal cannot proceed in its current form. In light of this, council has no other option but to defer the vote on this until the structure plan has been submitted, or reject the current application entirely. You have before you a supportive community which is offering our hand in good faith to partner with you in developing our area. But at the same time, if you decide to continue with this current plan, we'll fight you every step of the way, using all means necessary to prevent this from proceeding. Please do not underestimate our resolve to fight this proposal on every front, from now right through to council elections. On behalf of our community, I would like to thank you for your time and consideration today in this important matter. As a community group, we wanted to invite you all personally to come down, see our area, walk through, see the native wildlife, see how beautiful our area is, that our kids can play on roads and not be affected by traffic and cars flying around. The fact that our big blocks allow that the wallabies and all the different native animals we have to move throughout our land, this development is going to completely take that away, and I think that is unfair, and I think it's against what the planning is. So I ask you to consider this greatly before making that decision. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Burrows. Mr. Clive Taylor. Mr. Taylor, if you'd like to approach the microphone. Name, suburb, and the subject you wish to talk about, which we know is all going to be about Clay Gully from here on in, so
certainly.
Please start when you're ready.
Thank you for your time. My name is Clive Taylor. I am a resident of 10 Carnoustie Court at Victoria Point, and have been for the last 14 and a bit years with my family. I have a wife, three children, two foster children, and in-laws. I'm speaking today as my neighbours on the development or proposed development within Clay Gully Road and Brendan Way. My background is that I've worked for Lendlease on major projects and understand the development process and the importance of having master plans in place to establish communities that are functional, efficient and attractive and have the ability to grow and engage the community. So, firstly, we're not against development, as my neighbours have said. We want to see our local area continue to develop and improve. However, we believe that this proposed development will significantly impact our families and way of life in a negative way. So I'd like to touch on a couple of things to illustrate that. So currently, the proposal of approximately 270 lots is a small part of the overall proposed development. The main concern with this is that there is no overall structural plan in place, thus we have a piecemeal style of development, which is inconsistent with the South East Queensland Regional Plan, and the Emerging Community Zone Code. As my neighbours have alluded to, pieces of documentation, this current proposal does not meet those guidelines, and as such, we'll have those impacts on our road infrastructure, our services, our community space, and the environment. One of those key concerns is around the transport infrastructure. So the Emergency Community Zone Code also mentions transport networks are coordinated and interconnected to ensure a high level of accessibility for pedestrians, cyclists, public transport and private vehicles. And under Section C of the South East Queensland Regional Plan for Redlands, it is also noted that transport infrastructure will lead the sequenced development of urban communities in local development areas. This current proposed development does not address these requirements, and there is uncertainty outlined in the assessment application towards the upgrade of local existing infrastructure and future supporting infrastructure, primarily with Double Jump Road and Bunker Road. Now, Cleveland-Redland Bay Road congestion has not been addressed over the past two elections as promised, and is a major component of any future development of the area. However, it is not identified in the application assessment requiring an upgrade apart from where it intersects with Double Jump Road. With potentially another 540 cars plus from this particular proposed development, based on an average of 2 cars per household within the Redlands area, and that's based on the census statistics from the previous census, the current transport infrastructure will continue to struggle further, increasing traffic congestion and a higher risk of incidents around this intersection, up to the Benfer Road intersection and down into the Victoria Point Town Centre. There's a proposed slip lane into Cleveland-Redland Bay Road out of Clay Gully Road will also increase the risk of further incidents, looking as drivers look for an advantage to get ahead. And that's just human behaviour, unfortunately. We always look for a shortcut. There would be potentially 3 lanes merging into one lane in a very short distance, approximately just over 100 metres. Children cross that road to Victoria Point High School, my son included, at a designated crossover just up from Benfer Road intersection. Driving along there this morning, you could see there's the amount of traffic that goes through there at any given time is quite substantial, and so with the number of students at Victoria Point High in particular, over approximately 2,000 students, the risk as more cars come into that space, the risk increases. There've already been a number of incidents where both traffic and pedestrian interactions have occurred. So I believe that this would only increase given the traffic volume increase into the main road off Clay Gully Road. The potential extension of Clay Gully Road, which has been identified a number of plan overlays within the assessment application, particularly on plan number 7, through the environmental corridor and over the creek to Cleveland-Redland Bay Road, we'll only see vehicles look to take the shortcut through an attempt to beat the traffic signals and use the proposed slipway again to get ahead, thus potentially making Clay Gully Road a rat run.
I'll just remind you, you're at 5 minutes, so I'll just, if you don't mind...
I'll wrap it up.
Wrapping up.
So I have enough evidence there, I believe, for Council to consider either rejecting or adjourning this development until further impact assessments and structure plans can be put in place. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. I appreciate that. Our final speaker is Ms. Marie Manby. If you'd like to come up to the microphone, Marie, and name, suburb, subject matter you wish to talk about, which is Clay Gully Road, and you can start when you're ready. Thank you, Marie.
Good morning, Chair and Councillors. My name is Marie Manby and I have lived in Redland City at 18 Clay Gully Road, Victoria Point for 18 years with my family, and I'm here today as a private property owner and Redland resident to voice my concerns in regards to the proposed development. I represent my family and a number of community action group members who could not be here today due to work commitments and illness. These people have voiced their concerns and believe they will be negatively impacted by the proposed development and also the wider Victoria Point structure plan, should either this development or the structure plan go ahead in their current form. We knew when we first went to the area that the rural zone properties would be developed in the future. We had no issue with that, as the residents have all stated. But we had hoped that the development would be keeping with the amenity of the area, i.e. park residential and low density zoned allotments. This is a requirement of the planning scheme reconfiguration zone code. As a community, we hope we would have been provided with an ongoing public consultation process that followed the numerous minor, non-minor changes made to the plans along the way. These changes now include a bus route heading directly for my front door, raising amenity, safety, light and noise issues. I'm aware of a similar property in the Redlands that's had 2 vehicles through their front door in a 12-month stint. I believe the community have tried to consult and make their voice heard, get better outcomes. Some people have arranged on-site meetings with the developer, but to date, the community has been disappointed with both the process and the outcomes. The planning scheme sets out a number of requirements that need to be met as part of the development. This application was required to address a number of overlays and codes, which have not been adequately addressed and the council report confirmed are in conflict with. The overall outcomes of the reconfiguration code require infill reconfiguration, respects, established lot sizes, frontage widths and streetscapes. Basically, what we've got is park residential allotments with 9 small lots adjoining those larger allotments. So the reconfiguration code also has specific outcomes that are required to be met, including protecting environment values and functions, including habitat areas, corridors and waterways. Also requiring to maintain a high level of environmental amenity from existing or potential emissions such as noise and air quality impacts. I can tell you firsthand, living in the area for 18 years, there is an issue with the odour from the chicken farms, and at times I have had to close my house for the health of myself and my family. Also, when it comes to open space, specific outcome 133, land dedicated for open space purposes is required to be usable for its core purpose being the provision of open areas that are suitable for passive and active recreation and community interaction by not including land below 5% AEP, which functions primarily as overland drainage paths and may also contain or be capable of enhancing environmental values. I don't believe the open space proposed for this development is adequate in area or proposed use. The requirement for enhancing environmental values within the open space areas would be severely reduced due to the extremely large bioretention basin cutting off the wildlife corridor, the low-lying areas which are not suitable for a diversity of koala habitat replacement plantings, or for many plants that will be required to be replaced, those that have been lost through the development and required through enhancement planting.
Ms. Manby, I'll just advise you that you're up to your 5 minutes.
So already. Okay. Also, I have concerns with the habitat protection overlay, notably the corridor. Council's own planning scheme recognised standard of 100 metre corridor and the most recently supported corridor plan all stayed 100 metres for this type of wildlife corridor. Unfortunately, there's only a 40 metre corridor proposed and relying on the neighbouring property owner to extend that to 80 metres when or if that development does go ahead. Trees on the property, the report mentions a scattering of trees. Well, that equates to over 200 trees. Okay, some of these trees are located on the site, some on the neighbouring properties. What's been proposed is that the developer deal with the private property owners at a later time to manage these trees. I don't think that's a good planning practice and not something that should be conditioned. More appropriately would be to address it as part of the development assessment that we're going through now. Obviously, there's also issues with koalas in the area. I've seen a koala cross Clay Gully Road. I registered a koala at the Victoria Point High School only a matter of weeks ago. Koalas are in there. We all know they're there and they're iconic species. And both our planning process and the state planning process requires us to actually do everything we can in our power to protect their ongoing livability in our areas. As I said, we're going to be directly impacted, both our living rooms and our bedrooms at the front of our house. Like I said, with the minor change, to me, a bus route, cutting the development in half, changing corridors and all these other things that have been mentioned today, I don't see as minor amendments when you're living in the area. So, yeah, I think that the outcome that we seek today is for Council to vote to refuse, or worst case, defer the current development application and re-engage with the community who are willing to do so through an open and transparent public consultation process to create a wonderful Victoria Point structure plan that will allow current and future developments in the area to proceed without negatively impacting the environment and the existing long-term residents. Like the Minister said today, let's get a win-win outcome. I think we can do it, and that's why we're all here today to speak. So thank you for allowing me to voice my concerns as a resident, Redlands resident, about the potential impacts. Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Manby. Councillors, if I could just maybe get a motion that we resume our meeting proceedings. Move Councillor Elliott, second Councillor Gleeson. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Moving on to petitions and presentations, and I acknowledge we've got the scouts waiting. I do apologise. You've been very patient. But just quickly, Councillor Hewlett has a petition to present.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have a petition from residents of Victoria Point requesting Council refuse or defer the decision making on ROL 005912 until the Victoria Point structure plan has been through a Council CEO public participation process. I move the motion that petition be received for consideration and stand as an order of the day for the meeting. In other words, that petition will be addressed by today's decision.
So moved. Seconded by Councillor Boglari. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Thank you, Councillor Hill. So if I would just now move on, and I do once again apologise for keeping our young scouts waiting. In our presentation section today, I'd like to invite the District Commissioner, Paul Tuckwood, Craig Luxton, the Chief Commissioner, Daryl Scott, and all the scouts, if they would like to come up to the front of the chambers here. Yes, and we have very quietly removed the wildlife from chambers.
Well, there you go. If I like to see, he's prepared. So, this is the scarf What I have taken the liberty of is on the back, under the badge, is your registration number. So that when you're on 10, if you lose your scarf, it can be returned to you.
And you're in trouble.
But what I will do is I will place this like so. I'll let you adjust it like that. We have the Queensland bottle, and if you're a venturer scout, which I know you're not, you have it upside down so that you can recognise what state you belong to. However, and it doesn't go up to hold it together, it goes to your top button, as Meryl will tell you every day.
As an old scout.
And then what we have, normally, if you were in uniform, you'd have your badges presented, which represents the district and the world and the country. So what we have here for you, thank you, young man. This is for your desk. What this outlines for you is that you are a member of the World Organisation of Scouting, now and forever. No backtracking. So when we need somebody to come and watch this on campus, you are a member of Scouts Australia, which is a huge organisation in this country which we are all proud to be part of. Importantly, you are a member of the Dragons District. So this is, rather than have a shirt, this is for you to have on the desk and take with you. And it's a reminder of today.
Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. And again, thank you very much.
Thank
welcome
you.
To Scouting.
Thank you.
I'm not answering Alex.
I'm your
friend. Lead us in a bravo. Is that a possibility?
Sure.
Off you go.
With the capital
V R A V O. Bravo.
Grow our leaders of the future to lose our home in our city. So I know that the community is rallying behind them in different ways, and council's helping. I know Councillor Borghari is over trying to send some bits and pieces for them. But obviously, with the tradition of scouting, there's certain things that they do when they meet, and to do that, they need sectional flags. And so it's my great pleasure on behalf of the community to present a relatively large cheque. And we trust that with the support of the community and scouting that we'll be able to reveal something that's even better for our community and our young people to lead them into the future. So small tech and the exceptional flag.
That is greatly appreciated.
Thank you. And we're here to help on another occasion if there's other needs that come to mind over the next couple of months or however long it takes.
And I would like to have the opportunity to just thank everybody who might be in this room, if not for the support we've had the last 2 weeks. I'd like to recognise Councillor Bocknell, particularly she was there, short and copy on my hand. But it is a long process, and it is early days, and we are doing our best, and as we do, as a scout, and we are resilient as a scout, but we will revisit that then, and hopefully we'll have scouting appointment for many, many, many years.
And we look forward to seeing those
until it's all settled.
Councillors, I might just move on to order of business. We do have a requirement to accept late item, which is the approval to attend the Indigenous Tourism Summit. Can I have a mover and seconder to accept that as a late item, please? Move Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Hewlett. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Just quickly, just a reminder. Sorry, Councillor.
I have another order of business.
Oh, sorry, pardon me. You want to change the order?
Yes.
Yes. Councillor Hewlett?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Can I please move that item 11.2.4, the Clay Gully Road decision, be brought forward to the first report of the day?
So moved by Councillor Hewlett, seconded by Councillor Boglari. Those in favour? Those against? Okay. Those in favour? It's Councillor Boglari, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Elliott, Tolte, Gleeson, Bishop, Williams. Those against, Councillor Hughes. Thank you, Councillor. Okay, moving on to item 10. Just a reminder, Councillors, your material personal interest and your conflict of interest under the Local Government Act 2009, and you've got a summary of those responsibilities with your papers and your agenda. Well, that moves us then to the first item, which has changed now. So item 11.2.4 becomes the first item on the agenda. So if I may just ask Councillor Boglari if you'd take the seat, and I'll just declare that I have a conflict of interest as the applicant appears on my gift register, and therefore I choose to leave the room for the debate. Thank you.
Good morning. So 11.2.4, councillors, if you want to turn to that one in your books. And I believe, Councillor Hewlett, you have a...
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Yes, I'd like to move the report 11.2.4. However, I have a motion that I would like to present for an alternate motion. Thank you, Councillor Edwards. I'd like a alternative motion moved, which says Council resolves that the application is deferred until a Council-led structure plan is completed for the whole emerging community zone situated between Bunker Road, Double Jump Road, Brendan Way and Clay Gully Road, specifically the Victoria Point Local Development Area. And I have listed all the reasons below it, how it does not meet the required planning grounds to support that motion.
Has it been sent through to go on the board?
Yeah.
Yep. I'm waiting for it to go up on the... Well, I'm waiting for all councillors to be able to see it. Yes, it is. It was sent through earlier to councillors. Councillor Hewlett, as it is on the board? Hard to read. Whoa. That's the too big now. And up a bit. There we go. That it? So.
Yes, that's fine.
Is there a seconder for that motion?
No, I don't think it's...
And I need a seconder for it, that's per normal.
Okay. So we just can put that one straight to the vote.
Can I just have one question, is Andrew Rossley, about, so would this be considered a deemed refusal?
Through you, Madam Chair. Councillor, yes, that's correct. It's currently in a deemed refusal stage at the moment, as per the report.
Okay, Councillor Hewlett, we'll just put...
Just one more question.
We've just got to put the motion because you've moved it. Yes. Okay, so all in favour? Yep, we're putting it to the vote. All in favour? Oh, those against? Okay, in favour is Councillor Bishop, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Golay, and Councillor Boglari. Those against? Councillor Elliott.
Okay, councillors, the next item on the agenda is 11.1.1, which is the financial report. May I have a mover and seconder for that? I think it was going to be Councillor Boglari. You right? I'll give you a second. Move, Councillor Boglari.
Yes, happy to move that report.
Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Are you right, Councillor Boglari? Did you want to speak to it?
The report basically says we're tracking well. We're a bit further behind with our capital work delivery, but that's due to this wet weather. I think even the mowing in my backyard's behind, so I think that's very understandable. So I think everything's in the report. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments, councillors? No? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Moving on to the late item, which is in your agenda as 11.1.2. Could I have a mover and seconder, please?
Thank you, Mayor.
Move, Councillor Hughes. Seconded,
yes.
Was it? Seconded, Councillor Boglari. I know you're keen to talk about it, Councillor Hughes.
Okay, can I just clarify that will be, with the late item, has it got a number?
What it's 11.1.2. Well, it's actually, it will have changed in your minute.
11.1.2?
Correct.
With the, I'd like to move 11.1.2, approval for the Mayor to attend the World Indigenous Tourism Summit. Thank you.
So moved by Councillor Hughes, seconded by Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hughes?
Thank you, Mayor. As is in the report, this looks like a wonderful opportunity for our kayak team and with yourself looking at opportunities for extending and learning about tourism. Thank you.
Any speakers against, councillors? Any other comments? Councillor Edwards?
Yeah, I think this is a wonderful opportunity and it's good to be attending. The divisional councillor's unfortunately away today and I think he would benefit from this too. But I just want to point out the fact that it's correct that Air New Zealand is actually paying for the ticket. I thank Air New Zealand for doing that and allowing you to attend.
Councillor Bishop, comment?
I think it's important to recognise that we do have one of the oldest living cultures on the planet right in this city, and to have you as the Mayor go along with Kayak, who've been offered that opportunity to have those discussions, I think is a really important thing for the future of this city based on where we are now with the long established relationship between state government, local council, federal government, acknowledging the way that process needs to be managed, and I think your being there will be tremendously important. I think we've had some discussion about local divisional councillor Peter Mitchell and the potential for him to attend. I don't know whether there's an opportunity for that to still occur, but I do think it's important that as much representation can gather the information about such an important cultural exchange, because we have got the tourism strategy as well as part of our economic development planning. So all the best, and I hope you bring back some great information. Looking forward to hearing what happens. Thanks.
Thank you. Just in response, I guess, because Councillor Mitchell has been ill for a couple of days, that it would require an amendment to this motion today for that to occur, because it does require a motion of council for him to attend that type of. Yeah, I assume that he would be able to. There may be financial implications, although it may come out of his conference account, which every councillor has. So just Councillor Bishops.
Yeah, just in relation to that, given this is the only moment, I think it would be worthwhile, first of all, understanding. Well, I'd like to encourage that, because I think he's expressed some interest in it, and I think if this is the only moment that we have to do it, then I think it's worthwhile including it. And getting a bit of an understanding about the cost associated. However, I think it's a small price to pay because he deals with that issue. Can I just encourage that?
So it would probably just require a divisional councillor being added to the motion. Yeah. Councillor Tolte?
One other question in relation to that, given that it's a kayak arrangement, has that been extended from their part? I'm sure that just ensure that that's in discussion.
Well, I imagine that he could attend the conference in his own right anyway if he wanted to without having to, and I'll explain that in a minute.
Thanks.
Councillor Tolte?
I'm happy to move a motion to alter the motion to allow the local councillor to also attend as appropriate.
So the amendment would read, well, he is the divisional councillor, I suppose. If we could, we could actually just put Councillor Mitchell as a.
Yeah,
we have to move the amendment first. Yeah, so if he decides not to go, he's still got the. So, councillors, can I just make a suggestion? I need someone to move that as an amendment to the motion, that we change that to the council resolves to approve the mayor's and the Division 2 councillor to attend the World Indigenous Tourism Summit, because Division 2 obviously has the most responsibility when it comes to those relations. So that's the amendment moved by Councillor Bishop and seconded by Councillor Tolte. I'll just get a vote on that amendment first, please, councillors. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously and Councillor Golay is absent. Okay, so that's the new motion. Are there any other comments? I just think it's really important for me just to quickly note that this has been born out of a discussion that has occurred with Brisbane Marketing, and it's fair to say that Quandamooka has great opportunities with the development of areas such as the Star Entertainment, Queen's Wharf, also the various things happening in Brisbane with Brisbane Airport Corporation. There's been a huge focus on partnering with Quandamooka as the Indigenous experience here in southeast Queensland, which is why this has developed into not only attending a three-day Indigenous World Tourism Summit, but also experiencing a couple of the Maori tourism opportunities outside of Auckland. And obviously there's opportunity not only for state and local government to understand how to best facilitate those outcomes in their areas of interest. So yet to be determined what part I will attend and what part Councillor Mitchell would be able to attend, but this allows that to proceed should that happen. So there's no further discussion. Did you want to sum up, Councillor Hughes?
No, thank you, and I appreciate the Councillor's support for Councillor Mitchell when he's not in the room and unwell, so that was fabulous. And I'd just like to move the officer's recommendation with the amendment. Thank you.
So I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Those in favour? Councillor Boglari, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Williams. Those against? Councillor Elliott. Thank you, councillors. Okay, moving on to what's in your agenda is 11.2.1, the decisions under delegated authority. Can we have a mover and seconder for the report to be noted, please? Councillor Boglari. Would you like to move that move, Councillor Boglari? Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Boglari?
No, I think it's just an update for the community, and councillors have read through it, so anything affecting their areas they've had time to look at. So, no, it's all in there.
Thank you, Councillor. Any comments or questions, councillors? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.2.2, Planning and Environment Court Matters. Mover and seconder, that be noted as well. Thank you. Moved, Councillor Hughes. Seconded, Councillor Gleeson. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hughes?
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. I'm happy to move 11.2.2, Planning and Environment Court Matters, as at the 7th of March 2018. Thank you.
We have a mover and seconder, so would you like to speak to it, Councillor?
No, thank you, Mayor. This is a regular report that comes to us for noting only. Thank you.
Any questions or comments? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Councillor Golay was out of the room for both of those last two items. My apologies. The Birkdale School of Arts Hall and surrounding area, 11.2.3, you have an amended motion, I believe, Councillor Bishop.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'd just like to move the amended motion. Shall I read that? Okay, that Council resolves as follows. That Council's review of the Redlands Social Infrastructure Strategy 2009 incorporates consideration of the future use of the Birkdale School of Arts Hall and surrounding area in relation to placemaking for communities and community building. And two, following Council's review of the Redlands Social Infrastructure Strategy 2009 and considering any advice received from the community relating to asset-based community development, the Council considers an expression of interest in the 2019 calendar year for the lease of the Birkdale School of Arts Hall to a community organisation or organisations that would include the management and maintenance of the hall to ensure highest and best use of the facility to support community needs.
So that's moved, Councillor Bishop. Seconded, Councillor Boglari. Councillor Bishop, would you like to speak to it?
Yes, Madam Mayor, and thank you very much to the officers for doing the work associated with a request that came from me through a notice of motion asking for a bit more understanding about the way the hall could be used to community best interests. One of the things that was highlighted by the report was that the hall is used only 13% of the time. And I'll just note that the history of the hall was that it was built by the community in 1915, and they actually had a committee that formed, and one of the objects of that committee, in fact under their rules and regulations, was Rule 2, the object shall be to provide a library, reading room and centre of recreation for the district, and generally to advance the moral and intellectual welfare of the community. That's at a time when there were 70 houses in the area, and it's a neat little book that was published in Ann Street in 1915 and amended with little handwritten notes.
Slightly different to what was sent through, what you've actually... So I'm just... Continue, I'll just make sure that we've recorded...
Okay,
where
I think I've written out what was discussed.
Just double-checking that.
Okay.
Continue.
So the context of the past is that it was built by the community for the community's use, and it's come into council ownership. And at the point that I was asking for this question, it's just sort of to say, okay, it's a hall for hire. It's being used 13% of the time. It was built at a time when there were 70 houses in the area. There are now 7,000. Are there other ways that community can use this hall? The social infrastructure strategy has some fantastic themes within it. And I want to thank the officers for talking to the community groups that are in the area. I think what happens over this next period of time, between now and 2019, is that it now falls to me as a local councillor to ask the community through a process of asset-based community development to ask what do they believe might be possible for the use of that hall. Because council has a facility, they need it to be managed. How are we going to do that in a way that the costs can be shared and that can be more useful to the community? In the community infrastructure strategy, it talks about what is community building? It says community building means enhancing the connections and relationship among people in order to strengthen common values and promote collective goals. These goals may include community cohesion, safer neighbourhoods, support for isolated or disadvantaged people, healthier children and families, more local employment opportunities, greater cultural recognition, more equitable access to housing, or more profitable local businesses. All of which I think are themes that the community are very strongly committed to. When it comes specifically to this particular item in this strategy, it refers to placemaking for communities, and it refers specifically to the Birkdale placemaking project of LP3, which is why I've referred to the Birkdale School of Arts Hall and the surrounding area. In that, it refers to placemaking for communities as community building through provision of spaces for community meetings, activities, programs and services to address social needs, safety and connectivity. So I think this document from 2009, as it's being reviewed, has a reminder of what was discussed by the community for the moral and intellectual advancement of the region from 100 years ago. And as we're moving forward to ask, well, how will that hall be managed in future, I think it's appropriate that we use a process that is, I think, the best mechanism we have, which is called asset-based community development. So I will now talk with members of the community, various clubs, and I thank the officers for touching base with a number of them. I'll be asking for a connection between the civic, local, state and federal, if it's relevant, the local members of the community, so the civic, the community and the commercial operators in the area, and I'll be using a process called asset-based community development. That's a process that began in 1993 by John L. McKnight and John Kretzmann from the Institute for Policy Research in Illinois. It is basically looking at what is strong in the community, and here's a quick definition of what it is. It's a methodology for the sustainable development of communities based on their strengths and potentials. It involves assessing the resources, skills and experience available in a community, organising the community around issues that move its members into action, and then determining and taking appropriate action. This method uses the community's own assets and resources as the basis for development. It empowers the people of the community by encouraging them to utilise what they already possess, which is the strength that they have. So over the next few months, year or so, I will be asking the stakeholders who are currently using the hall, how can this hall be used, how can the costs be managed. I'll be doing that as a councillor, and hopefully doing that in a way that's going to be of relevance with this review of the social infrastructure strategy, so that we can come back with a grassroots process that will support decision making in a more effective manner. It shouldn't cost the council any more, but it will lead to a much more robust decision making process with community endorsement of what comes next. So that's the overview. Thank you very much, councillors, for your support, and I'll leave it open for questions.
Thanks, Councillor Bishop. Any speakers against? Any questions or comments? Oh, speaker against. No, speaker. A comment, Councillor.
Speaking for, I commend you, Councillor Bishop, for this process you're embarking on. What's important to me is that we've got a lot of halls and meeting places throughout the city. There's a lot of value in them, and there's a lot of expense to keep them maintained and running. And I think the general community don't understand how much that goes into them. And the monies that we charge to hire them, we don't recoup anywhere near what it is. So it's a burden to us. And when they are used, it seems like it's around peak times where everyone wants to use them. But the majority of the time, they are just sitting there. So I'm very interested to see how this process goes over the coming months. If you can improve that utilisation by engaging with the community, then I think that presents a model for us to reflect in our own divisions or anywhere else in the city to replicate the community engagement to get better utilisation and more funds through the door as well to support those assets. So I commend you for the motion. I'll support you.
Any other comments? I think it's also, if I could just comment, that there are many organisations who are always looking for space in the city, and hence the opportunity down the track for them to take the lead in managing such facilities so that we get that active use that not only gets a better return on the investment of your asset, but actually delivers far, you know, far greater community outcomes, which our city is very proud of, obviously, and we rely on their assistance as volunteers. So it will be an interesting process, and I look forward to the results of that and the opportunity to review that in 2019. Sum up.
I'll be brief, but I absolutely acknowledge what Councillor Edwards said. It is important that what we do is something that can be useful elsewhere. That's why I've been very keen to see if we can use asset-based community development. I know that the council officers aren't at this point able to roll that out. It is a community development practice that is well established, used globally, and if it's something that the community can come on board with, I think it is a very robust way forward. And I know that there's a history in this city of people doing it very wisely. And as to what you were mentioning, Madam Mayor, in terms of public-private partnerships and having an expression of interest, one of the concerns is that if we go to a normal public-private partnership, an organisation might come along and what they choose to do might lock the community out. So I'm interested in facilitating a public-private and personal partnership where the residents actually roll their sleeves up and say, this is what we think might be possible for our hall and we can be custodians. I think when the council works with the citizens in a way that does that and that has commercial realities attached, it will be a very exciting process. So there's a strict protocol involved, and I'll be looking to work with a group, core group of people locally to make sure that that's done in an as robust a manner to come up with a program that will be able to be replicated. Thank you.
Put the motion, councillors. Those in favour? Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 11.2.5, councillors. I believe there's an alternative motion that's been sent around. Councillor Tolte?
Yes, Madam Chair. There's an alternative motion to put up. I believe the officers have it.
Just make sure we've got it up in front. Have you got it there, Liz? Just to make sure that you you see that before we get a seconder.
Where is it?
Oh, okay.
No, that's not it. I don't know what that is. No, that's from a different item.
Councillor Tolte, have you got the words there? Would you like to read them out if you've got them?
It's quite long. Okay. I would move the following motion. The council resolves to refuse the application based on the following grounds. The proposed extension is actually a new quarry extracting new material from a different location on the site with significant greater scale than the existing quarry. The proposed development is not consistent with the reasonable expectations of the local community because the proposal is for a completely separate quarry which was of a significant scale and will operate in close proximity to the adjoining rural residential properties. The applicant has failed to demonstrate that the new quarry can be constructed and operated in such a manner as to protect the amenity of the surrounding sensitive receptors. The applicant has failed to adequately define and apply suitable noise criteria to assess protection of amenity for surrounding sensitive receptors. The proposal will not maintain or enhance the rural residential amenity of surrounding area through the minimisation of environmental nuisance occurring through the operation and construction of the quarry. The proposal adversely impacts on and limits the future enhancement of the surrounding economic tourism opportunities. A large number of submissions had been received objecting to the proposal prior to its approval, which raised valid planning grounds. The proposed development is in conflict with the following provision of the Redlands Planning Scheme. A, Part 3.1.4, Desired Environmental Outcome Number 3, Community Health and Wellbeing. B, Part 3.1.7, Desired Environmental Outcome Number 6, Economic Development. C, Overall Outcomes 2, brackets A, 1 and 2, C, for the Rural Non-Urban Zone. Overall Outcome 2, A, 4, for the Extractive Industry Code. And specific outcomes, S2, 1 and S2.4 of the Extractive Industry Code. There are not sufficient grounds to warrant approval of the proposed development having regard to the nature and extent of the conflict with the Redlands Planning Scheme. That the development proposed it be immediately referred to the relevant state minister to assess the proposal, in particular decision by strategic agencies under the Planning Act 2016, and that the development will have a significant impact on Mount Cotton Road and may affect pedestrian and vehicular safety on this road. This impact is not suitably mitigated by the conditions of the original approval. There's more, Madam Chair.
Yep, the last line.
We've got it now, number 11. The development will have a... 12. The population of Mount Cotton and its surrounds, and Redland City itself has grown significantly since the original application was subject to public notification in 2012. A number of new dwellings and change of ownership in Mount Cotton and surrounds has occurred during this time. Therefore, there is a fair degree of non-awareness of the development approval within the surrounding community.
So that's moved, Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Boglari. Councillor Tolte, would you like to speak to it?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Been a little bit bamboozled there. Okay, thank you. Look, I welcome this opportunity. This is an extension to an approval that was made by the Minister following Council's refusal. I don't believe that the reasons that Council had for the refusal in the original situation have changed. The State Government may still wish to pursue this as an extractive resource, but there is an opportunity here for the process to be tested and to test those assumptions that were present when the approval was granted. We have had over 400, at least 442 that I'm aware of, and I'm sure more than that, new homes built in the area since the approval was granted. That equates to 17% overall of the wider area. ECQ tells us when we go to election every 4 years that we should expect approximately a 30% turnover in new residents coming and going from the area. That's a significant number of people that will not know about the detail of this approval or even its approval at all. I believe we have an opportunity to make the community aware, to test the conditions that were put on the approval at the time, an opportunity to look at the assessments in safety and road access and contributions and noise and other impacts on the local community. I have particular concerns, and I have had all along, about noise from the proposed conveyor belt. I don't think that the access plan for the trucks and transport is the best possible plan. Dust management concerns for health. The amount required by the state to be contributed for public road maintenance, I don't believe was adequate, and I don't believe it was in keeping with what other quarries had been required to do, and the scale and length of time of the approval. We have had a matter recently where Barrow themselves made a submission on a neighbouring matter, and in their own words, in their submission, they said, accordingly, assessment is required as these activities form part of the intended use of the site, which constitutes development that is not associated with extractive industry in the KRA, which will result in the increase in the number of people working or congregating in the KRA, and the development is not compatible with the safe and efficient operation of extractive industry in the KRA. And further, that the proposed development, this is a neighbouring development for tourism, and current use are not in keeping with the surrounding land uses. Now, that indicates to me that they don't believe that they can ensure public safety, and I think that that needs to be examined and tested also. So for those reasons, I'm proposing that we refuse to extend this current approval, and then the matter will be open to go to further examination.
Any speakers against? Councillor Elliott.
Thanks, Mayor. This is highlighted by Councillor Tolte as a key resource activity. I think it'll be treated as time. We've said this before to the state. I'm raising it later on in conversation, that KRA should be dealt with by the state. We'll go through this. This is a bit like saying Council's voted not to let the tide come in the morning. It will happen. It's a state government. The EPA will be the control of the dust and all those measures and things like that. It's a state road, unlike Carriman's Quarry, where it was our road, and we could condition that, and I think that's quite well looked after by Carriman's. But certainly, Borrell, it's a state issue. They are state issues. and we can throw ourselves on the floor, go to court, but I think this will be scooped up as it was the previous government, the previous government, the Liberal Party government, the Newman government, called it in. And I think it'll be called in again, something like that. And I think that's the reality. Everybody that drives on the road base underneath it comes from these quarries. You know, if you want, they're not going away. They're marked as a KRA. All I wish the state would take its own responsibility, and these applications should be lodged straight with the state and the communities advised. That's it. We go through these machinations, I know, every so often, but that's the reality. Thank you.
Elliot, Councillor Boglari, Speaker 4.
Thank you, through you. As I received in an email from someone, the exact word sums it up, that the physical and environmental risks associated with this proposed development remain significant. And I think that's what councillors have to consider here today. It's been going since 2004, 2007, councillors refused it, 2013 councillors refused it, and I certainly don't want to be a part of a 2018 council that is not standing up for our community and the impacts on it. It might be a state responsibility, but we have it presented before us today, so we have to make a stand. And Councillor Tolte, I applaud her for the amount of work she's done in this. She did the same amount of work back in 2013, I remember. And, you know, I was sitting here with her trying to give her some support yesterday until 6 o'clock last night. She was dotting every I and crossing every T. So, you know, good on Councillor Tolte. She lives in that area. She knows the impact on her community, and whether it is a state responsibility or not, no previous refusal reasons have changed. And therefore, I support this motion.
Any other comments, councillors? Councillor Edwards? Oh, a speaker against or just a comment? Sorry, I didn't. Just a comment. Are there any other speakers against? Okay, Councillor Edwards.
I acknowledge what Councillor Elliott said, and he is correct. However, we do have the opportunity to again demonstrate, as representatives of our community, that there is ill will against this to go through in the community. And it's our role, even though it may likely be called in and go on, it's our role whilst it's before us to voice the will of the community, and hopefully the state government will take notice. But ultimately, Councillor Elliott is right, these sort of things should be handled by the state and not put council through the process. But at least we can lend our support to Councillor Tolte and have the matter declined.
Very much reflecting along those same lines. Absolutely, councils exist at the behest of the state. They have total say. However, they expect us to be the voice of our community. And I think not only do we need to express the concern, I think everyone knows that there's going to be development and change in the world that we live in, but I think as the urban footprint does create some constraint and the area around there, I know there are people in that place that are looking for economic development opportunities, and when the impact is coming the other way and that resource extraction is causing limitations on our capacity as a city to develop economic opportunities, I think that's a very strong message. I'm pleased that Councillor Tolte has included that as well, because we've had presentation from local entrepreneurs who are trying to make that area as valuable for the highest and best use. And I think if we have one key resource area and only one economic opportunity there and everything else lies fallow, I think we're missing a huge opportunity as decision makers across the city to... we have five resource areas in that particular arena, but we need to be aware of the impact, and that is our important voice up to the state, to the minister, to say, listen to the people of the area, extract elsewhere. Thank you.
Any other comments, councillors? I would just like to add, I guess, that this is quite an anomaly for our consideration today, because this was a call in by the minister after we refused it. I concur with everything that's been said around the room, and I'm pretty sure that in the last resolution, Councillor Elliott, you might remind me, or Councillor Tolte, we actually resolved to write, it may have been a separate motion, write to the Minister and suggest that if they want to impose KRAs on our region, then they should be responsible for explaining that to their community and deciding applications on them. And I don't know if you want to reconsider putting that in this motion again. We obviously have had two different ministers since then. and maybe we can take that offline. But it, I mean, you're also correct in saying that we all drive on the roads that are built with the road base that comes from these quarries, so it is a quandary for us. And it is unfortunate where you have got, a new industry growing in there when it comes to tourism and the like, that they are already being impacted by what was the decision of a state building more tourism accommodation, and that's really unfortunate, I think, for the area. So today's a pretty good example, I think, of the difficult situations that local government are placed in by the legislation that's written by the state. We, you know, often want to be able to support our community on all sorts of issues, but realise that sometimes we're just the kicking boy for state legislation, and unfortunately it doesn't always mean that the community wins. And sometimes we have to make those difficult decisions, and it doesn't always turn out as the community would like it to. Let's hope that the decisions made today by this council has some impact on how the state considers their planning acts, considers the regional plan. We've heard a lot of discussion about the regional plan today. And, you know, they either want planning power and have it all, or they understand that we have to represent our community on such issues. So with that, I'll hand back to Councillor Tolte to sum up, and we'll take the vote.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to, if you can give me a little bit of latitude, acknowledge that we do have on this site a local business who are good local employers and are used and appreciated by the local community, particularly the construction industry with the concrete batching plant. So, you know, it's about finding a balance and trying to figure out how this site can be best used, perhaps not to the scale that has been proposed. So, yes, with that, I put this motion. Thank you.
Just before we move on, I'll just question Council's desire in writing to the Minister in regards to KRA.
It's in there.
It does. It talks about this proposal. I think our recent
I'm happy to
recommendation
alter the
to well the recent decision of well it wasn't recent the decision we made last time was to discuss the relevance of councils having been forced to make an assessment on KRAs, which a state government imposed. I apologise that I've let you sum up and I haven't had that discussion, but I'll ask council's view if they'd like to leave that for another time, or Councillor Elliott.
It puts me in a spot where I support what you're saying, but I don't support what we're doing on this part.
Yeah, okay.
I prefer it. I've got it on a later discussion I'd like to have with
sure.
Council.
Sure. All right.
I prefer it there. I think what was there was fine for this.
Yep.
But in the wholest thing, it's just that that's how I feel.
Okay.
And I don't want to be saying, oh, I don't support you. The KRA is going to
appreciate be that. Councillor Boglari, and I apologise, I'll just suspend those standing orders to get that correct. So what I'm hearing is that there could be a future motion or a future discussion that allows me to write to the Minister.
I'm happy for it to be included, because I think it is exactly what you said. The state wants to impose something on us, but they don't give us... We're the ones that are here on the ground with our community trying to represent them. So I'd like to see it included in this motion.
I could, councillors, present it to you as a mayoral minute, and that way it's separate, and that way Councillor Elliott was able to have his vote, or we can bring it to the next meeting.
Can I say, I also want to write to the Minister on structure planning as well, so I think that's probably the best way to go with it. There's a couple of things I'd like to say
well,
to
we,
the state,
okay.
In this and also structure planning.
Was that actually, I wasn't here for that discussion, was that actually raised in that motion earlier?
No, it's just the list I've got.
Okay.
If you bring out the motion, I'll talk about it later. I think this is one thing, not about all KRAs, so this is about one thing. I was happy with the wording in there, but if you go plural, I think that's a separate...
What I was saying though, Councillor Elliott, I could bring it as a mayoral minute, make it a separate motion, and that way you're able to vote accordingly, okay? And that way I want to respect the fact that you want to show your vote in one way here that doesn't actually allow you to vote on the other one. Councillors, is there general support for that approach? All right, okay. Well, I'll put the motion then. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is sorry, motion isn't unanimous. Those four, Councillor Boglari, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Williams, those against, Councillor Elliott. Okay, councillors, with that, we are up to the mayoral minute, so, and this is not what I like to do, but it will be a motion that we're doing on the run, which is not the best way of dealing with, yes, I do apologise, but I'm trying to reflect that, I'm trying to reflect the sentiment of the room and have it dealt with, so just, we, council agrees to, writes to the, well, it'll be the planning minister. Could be state development as well, I suppose. To the state minister.
Yeah. And as you suggested, we also need one to say about structure plan. Whether you wanted to do that or on another meeting.
I think we might do
it. Also needs to be done at some stage.
I might do that at another meeting.
Yep.
Because
yep, I'd just like to flag that also needs
already,
to be done.
I'm already kind of feeling a bit uncomfortable when
yep.
I try to encourage you to be organised for
That's
these meetings.
That's all right. Meetings. This is an important one. We're all
Mayor
with
writes,
you.
The response
Everyone
statement
is
outlining
agreeing.
Council's matters of state interest. Decisions on matters of state interest. Okay. This is why it's not a good idea. KRA, okay. Key resource areas. Be decided by the relevant state departments. Be assessed and decided. That'll give me enough scope to write that letter. Councillors, you happy with that? Just nod your heads. A bit bigger, they're a bit blind, getting old. Is that big enough? Happy? Yeah? Well, that's the mayoral minute, councillors. I don't need a second for that, so I'll put the motion. I'm just noticing that not everyone's in the room. Sorry? Here. I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion's carried. Thank you, councillors. That was unanimous. I have no notices of motion, nor any urgent business without notice, so we'll go to our closed session. Is it necessary for us to go into confidential for that discussion? I think that we're all clear on that. Okay, move Councillor Gleeson. Seconded Councillor Tolte. Those in favour? This is, just so we're aware, item 16.2.1. Oh, sorry, 16 point. Oh, my. Oh, I got the wrong number. Okay. 1.1. 16.1.1, councillors, so you know what you're voting on. Those in favour? Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Okay, councillors, that concludes our items on our agenda for the day. I thank you for your participation and respectful debate today, and I close the meeting at 11:15. Thank you.